God's Word, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 20. Let's pray together, and we're going to continue our study on the word precious. And it's been a blessing going through this with you, and I trust tonight will be a blessing as well. And there's a whole lot in the Word of God, you know. I mean, it's inexhaustible. There's no doubt about it. And I am having a time in my office. I'll be honest with you, just studying the Bible and digging out things and so on, and God's ministering to my heart, and I appreciate it so much. And I cannot encourage you enough who are coming to the activity, please try to bring some unchurched and unsaved family members with you, because a lot of times these folks will come to something like this when they will not come to a church service, so take advantage of it. We're going to have a great time, and just wait until you see the pictures of the staff that you get to shoot at. Praise God. No, you're not going to get to shoot at us literally. Thank the Lord for that. But anyway, you just wait till you see these pictures and you'll wonder what in the world you're doing in this church, I'd say, you know. We appreciate you being here tonight. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Would you help us now to learn something from your word, and may you encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. I did a word study several weeks ago on the word precious. We've been looking at this together, and the word precious in the Bible means valuable. It means excellent, prized, good, honored, esteemed, dear, or of highest degree. And you know, while you and I have certain things that are precious to us, like our family and our health and other things like that, God has given us some things in His Word that He says these things are precious. We've been in the midst of looking at some of these things. Let me just mention the ones that we've already mentioned to you. First of all, God's loving kindness. In other words, in the midst of evil and in the midst of wickedness, in Psalm 36, especially verse number 7, we see that God is merciful. And God's Word tells us that His loving kindness, His mercy, if you will, His grace, His goodness to us is a precious thing. Second thing we notice is that the redemption of the soul is precious in Psalm 49. The third thing we notice in Psalm 116 is that the death of a saint is precious. Not the death of a sinner, but the death of a saint. Somebody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Fourth thing we looked at is the seed of the Word of God is a precious thing in Psalm 126. Then the fifth thing we noticed is that God says the unity of the brethren. In other words, when brethren are dwelling together in unity in Psalm 133, God says that's a precious thing. Then in Psalm 139, we looked at God's thoughts unto me and how the thoughts of God, the Bible says, are more in number than the sand on the sea. In other words, every grain of sand, if you would pack it up and put it all together and count it one by one by one, God has more lovely thoughts for His children than that. And that's a precious thing. The last thing we notice together is that wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3 is a precious thing. Now we pick up in Proverbs chapter 20, and God willing, I'm going to try to get through three of these. I'm just going to tap the first two on the head. I'm going to try to, and then go to the third one for tonight. But the seventh thing for our study that we see that God says is precious is found in chapter 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Now it's interesting right here that according to 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 21, now we realize that Solomon here is writing. And we realize that in 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 21 that there was plenty of gold and abundance of rubies during Solomon's reign. But the Bible tells us here that there's something more precious than any of those things. And what is more precious than that is the precious jewel that is identified as the lips of knowledge. In other words, what God tells us here and what He's trying to teach us is that it is of more worth to be one who speaks the truth from the heart than to have gold and rubies all around us. In other words, God says if somebody's rich tonight and they are a liar, that's not a precious thing. But He's saying if somebody doesn't have anything, or if they have everything, but yet they have lips of knowledge, they have a mouth that pleases God, they have a mouth that speaks the things that God is glorified with, God says that is more precious
than jewels. It's a precious jewel. Matter of fact, we're in Proverbs. I want to show you several portions of Scripture. Flip back to Proverbs chapter 10 with me just a moment. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 11. Now we're going to do this quickly because I'm trying to get to the third point tonight. Proverbs 10, 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Look at verse number 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Look at verse 20 and 21. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Look at verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 2. The Bible says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Look at verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Look at verse number 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Look at verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 23. The Bible says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Look at chapter 17, verse 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Look at chapter 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Look at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 15. The Bible says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. That's our text. Look at chapter 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Look at chapter 25 and verse number 11. The Bible says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now on and on and on and on we could go, but we see that God says when a person is speaking right and he uses his mouth for knowledge, and he uses his mouth as a tool of wisdom, and he uses his mouth for a tool of God, God says that's a precious thing. And it's interesting, let me ask you a question. Is your mouth precious to God tonight? Is it precious? Now, you know as well as I do that every one of us deal with our tongue. Amen. You know you do as well as anybody else does. Now, I'm perfect. I don't deal with it. I'm just kidding. You know that. We all deal with it, with the sin of the tongue. But it's interesting that God says one of the precious things, and he calls it a precious jewel, one of the precious things in the Bible are lips of knowledge. We ought to use our mouth to glorify God. We ought to use our mouth not to gossip, but give the gospel out. We ought to use our mouth not to backbite, but I'm talking about giving glory to Almighty God. Here's what I'm saying to you. Do you realize there are people around the world who cannot talk? They can't speak. What about this football player who just had this weight slip out of his hand and crush his vocal cords? I heard Mr. John today say that the doctor said it is very possible he'll never speak again. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that a gift of God is speaking? That's a gift from God. You can speak tonight because God has given you the ability to speak. But how many times do we as God's children take the precious jewel and turn it into something filthy? And turn it into something nasty? Turn it into something that's ungodly? We're seeing tonight, number one, it's number seven in our study, but number one tonight, lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Now, I wonder tonight, how's your mouth? How's your language? Do more edifying things come out? Do you edify people or eat people with your language?
That's not my notes, but that's pretty good right there. Do you edify them or do you eat them? Do you chew them up and spit them out, or do you build them up? And all I'm saying to you,
God says he's given you a precious jewel. It's called lips of knowledge, and we need to use it for the glory of God. Second thing tonight, eighth thing for our study, is we find in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to turn to it, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse number 1 and following. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and following. We're looking at precious things, a Bible study on a word, just one word. And what a study it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Skip down to verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at verse number 7 closely. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Number 8, number 2 tonight, the trial of your faith is a precious thing. And I'll be honest with you, Miss Annis, I had you in mind, and it's interesting how God has me right here tonight. It's interesting. It's amazing to me how God meets people right where they are. And the interesting thing here is in this text, the Lord shares with us that how the trying, that word trying means testing. The testing of our faith is much more precious than gold. See, gold is the most valuable, pure, useful, and durable of all metals. And when you compare it to faith, so is faith among many of the Christian virtues. Now, it's desirable that faith should be separated from all alloy. In other words, gold a lot of times has a lot of alloy in it, and you know, it has to be burned off, whatever the case may be. And in the same way, folks, there are things that as we have faith in God, it attaches itself to our faith. It's stuff like doubt. It's stuff like pride. It's stuff like selfishness and meanness and fear and worry and you name it. It's stuff that attaches itself to our faith all the time. And God says, just like gold can be purified, your faith, when it's tried, it breaks the dross off. It breaks the alloy off, and it makes your faith completely pure. And may I say to you that faith is better and more precious than gold, because gold comes and goes. It will perish whenever the world burns up, but our faith will live on for eternity, bringing glory to Almighty God. And the trial, the trying, the testing, whenever something comes in and it puts you in the fire, so to speak, God says that trial, that fire, that is more precious than gold. Precious tonight, the trying of your faith. The bottom line is the trial of our faith is more precious than the trial of gold, because as I've already said, in the end, gold perishes while faith brings praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Christ and will last forever. Gold doesn't increase and multiply by fiery trials. It doesn't multiply, but faith is established. Faith is improved, and faith is multiplied tonight by fiery trials. Now, none of us like to be put in the fire. None of us. I'll tell you why. Fire hurts. It burns. It's not comfortable. But at a time when your faith is tried, that's when trust must rise to the occasion and say, I know this is uncomfortable. It is burning me. It's hurting me. But wait a minute. Don't look at it as what is God doing to me. No, look at it as what is God doing for me. There's a big difference. The devil will try to get you to think, I thought God loved you. I thought God said he'd take care of you. I thought God said this. I thought God is love. How can a God of love let you go through this? The fact is, many times God proves himself that he is love and he is just and he is who he says he is. And many times he does that better in the fiery trial than he does on the mountaintop. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? The fiery trial, the trial of our faith, whatever it is, God says it is more precious than gold. It's more precious than gold. These trials show and reveal the purity of our faith and burn away the unwanted dross that in the end it may bring glory to Almighty God. Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Number one tonight, it's number 7 and 8 so far in our study. Number one, lips of knowledge. God says when you speak the way I made your mouth to speak, that's a precious jewel. Second thing, the trial of your faith is a precious thing. And the third thing, and this is really what I want to hone in on tonight, is also found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Here it is. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we see in 1 Peter 1, verse 19, that the ninth thing for our study, the third thing for tonight, is we see that the blood of Jesus Christ is a precious thing. Amen. In this text, we see that the blood of Christ is precious. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons why it's precious. Now, keep in mind, if I tried to tell you every reason why the blood of Christ is precious, we'd never get through. I'm just going to give you two or three things right here, maybe four, I don't know. I've reviewed my notes, but I've already forgot them. Number one, the first reason the blood of Jesus Christ is precious is because by it we are redeemed. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verses 18 and 19, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That word redeemed there, it means this. Now listen to it. It comes from a word that's talking about an ancient slave trade. Now stay with me here. It means to buy a slave in a marketplace from off of the slave block. And to forever deliver that one from his bondage. Now that's a blessing. In other words, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he provided the means whereby a lost, hell-deserving slave of sin and Satan. By the way, when you were born a sinner. You were enslaved to sin. You were sold under sin, the Bible says. And the Bible teaches that we were in the family of the devil when we were born into this world. But when Jesus Christ came and he stretched out his arms and he died, and he stretched out his feet and he died, and his precious blood was shed from his body, and he took that blood and offered it to his Father and put it on the heavenly mercy seat. Therefore, anybody who realizes that they are a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for them, and if they will confess their sin to him and invite him who did this for them to come into their heart and be their Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ then buys them off for the slave market. In other words, they were sold under sin in the family of Satan. But the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than either one of those things. And whenever you come to him, he will buy you back and set you free. Somebody say amen right there. That's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I want you to turn to it with me, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12, where the Bible says this: neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, talking about Jesus, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The Bible says in Revelation 5:9, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood of Jesus Christ is a precious thing. Number one, because it redeemed us. It bought us back. We're no longer on the slave market of sin. He has set us free. It's a precious thing. Number two, it's precious because by it we are not only redeemed, but secondly, by it we are justified. The Bible says in Romans 5:9, well, I'm getting happy about these doctrines right here. I'm talking about these doctrines of justification. I'm talking about the doctrine of redemption, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, he has redeemed us. He has justified us. He's made us as if we never sinned. Isn't that a blessing? Only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Some people say the blood is the death, hogwash. Praise God, he died, because it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's still in the Bible. And I'm telling you, by his blood we're redeemed. By his blood we're justified. The Bible says in Romans 5:9, but much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Boy, it's a blessing to realize that one day before I got saved, God's hand of wrath was coming down on me. I'm talking about the judgment hand of God's wrath. But when I trusted Jesus Christ, he justified me. And the Bible says, because I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is no longer coming down on me. Somebody shout glory right there. That right there, preach, folks. That'll preach right there, that we've been justified by the blood of Almighty God. Amen. Good night. That's blessing my heart tonight. We're justified by that blood. We're redeemed by that blood. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but by that blood we are made nigh. Boy, I like that. We see this in Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What a blessing. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What a powerful portion of Scripture. That we who are God's children by the blood of Jesus Christ, before we got saved, we were separated from God. We were away from God. But by the blood of Christ, he brings us into the family of God. What a blessing. It's precious because it makes us nigh. It's precious tonight because by it we are clean. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's interesting, you've heard the name Dr. Charles Finney, I'm sure. Many, many years ago, he was preaching on that text, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. After the service, a stranger came and asked him to walk home with him. There were some leaders in the church who advised Dr. Finney not to go home with this man,
but Dr. Finney did anyway. When they got to the house of this man who took Dr. Finney with him, he went into the rear of a building. And the stranger locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and said, "Don't be afraid, I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you a few questions." He said, "Mr. Finney, do you really believe what you preach tonight? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin?" Dr. Finney said, I most certainly do." The man said this. He said, "We're in the back of a saloon right now." He said, "I am the sole proprietor." And he said, "Dr. Finney, mothers come in here and lay their babies on the counter and beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. I turn a deaf ear to them and to their cry. We see to it when a man leaves here, he's well under the influence. And more than one night, a man leaving here has been killed by the express at the tracks. Dr. Finney, tell me, can God forgive a man like me?" Dr. Finney said this, "I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin." He said, "But that's not all, Mr. Finney." He said, "In another room, we run a gambling hall. And if a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, we bring him back here, and with marked cards, we see to it that he's fleeced out of his last dollar bill. We send him home penniless to a hungry family. And I'm the sole owner of all this. Tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like mine?" Again, Dr. Finney said, "All I have is the authority of God's word, and the blood of His Son cleanseth us from all sin." He said, "But sir," he said, "you don't understand." He said, "That's not all." He said, "Across the street is my home where my wife and my little daughter live. Neither one has heard a kind word from me for 5 years. Their bodies bear marks of my brutal attacks." And he said, "Dr. Finney, do you think God could forgive a man with a heart like that?" Dr. Finney lowered his head and his eyes filled with tears. And he said, "My friend, you've painted one of the darkest pictures I've ever gazed on. But I still have one authority which said, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The man opened the door and ushered the preacher into the night, then never left that room till daybreak. And not before ripping up decks of cards and pouring the contents of bottles down the sink. Across the road at home, he sat in his living room, and his little girl called, "Daddy, mother's got breakfast, it's ready." When he answered his little girl, something was different. He answered her kindly for the first time in 5 years. Something happened to him back there in his place, you see. I believe you and I know what happened, don't you? The little girl came in and said to her mom and said, Daddy spoke to me kindly, Mom. I think something's the matter." The mother followed her little girl to the living room, and the man beckoned them both and, taking one on each knee, explained to their amazement that they had a new husband and a new daddy. All because a preacher got up and preached, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And this man was under torture. "You don't understand what I've done." And every time this preacher took him right back to the Bible. But God's word says He cleanses us from all sin. And I'm going to tell you something. What a God we serve, that He would take a man like that and forgive him and change his life. But before we point fingers, see, we're very good at categorizing sin. What I mean by that is you and I can think about this man and say, "Man, that guy, that's ridiculous. I can't believe, how could he ever do something like that?" Wait a minute. Do you realize every time we do anything against God, that's exactly what we're doing to Him? God doesn't look at us and say, "Boy, that's worse than that. Well, now you're not as bad as he is." No, God says this, "Every single solitary sin nailed my Son to the cross. And I don't care how human beings look at it, let me just clear the slate. 1 John 1:7, the blood of my Son will cleanse you from all sin." Amen. Aren't you glad it's all sin tonight? What if it wasn't?
What if it wasn't?
Listen to this quote from a female theologian. You know it's not going to be good when I use that kind of language, right? She said this. She said, "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and all that weird stuff." By the way, it's people like that that's teaching some of these Bible students. It's people like that that's teaching Bible doctrines and all these religious courses in these state universities. It's the same way at East Tennessee State. No doubt about it. It's interesting. I'd like to make a statement to this lady. I'm going to let you hear it. My statement is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood, it has always been God's method of dealing with sin. Always. Always. He did it that way with Adam and Eve in chapter 3, verse 21 of Genesis. He dealt with it with Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 and 4. It was the shedding of blood. He dealt with Noah after the flood, Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. It was the shedding of blood. He set down the worship guidelines in Leviticus chapter 4 and also Leviticus chapter 17, and it's still the shedding of blood. And under the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it is still the shedding of blood. Still the shedding of blood. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Somebody said, well, her problem is she said, "I don't think." That's her problem. She thinks too much, no doubt about it. Because God's word is where the authority is, and it is by the shedding of blood that there's remission of sins. The shedding of blood. People are belittling the blood, but it's still the way of God. When a large religious service was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco, many people quickly became aware that the minister, not a preacher, the minister. By the way, don't ever call me a minister, please. Hallelujah. Now, I know what somebody's going to do now, right? Minister Jody, minister, you do that. Yeah, sure. I know, I got myself in a fix there, didn't I, Lord? I know. But they became aware that this minister delivering the main address was not thoroughly orthodox. Because although he was a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Christ. He began to speak about the blood, belittling it and attacking the blood of Christ. He was eloquent. He was the gifted speaker. He was the keynote speaker, apparently. But all of a sudden, whenever he started belittling the blood, there was a timid, elderly lady that stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing a great hymn. And as she sung it, it was a rebuttal, you know, to this modernist remarks, and a hush fell over the assembly as they heard those faint but familiar words, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And before she could begin the second stanza, about 100 more people rose to join her. And by the time she reached the third stanza, there was nearly 1,000 Christians standing at their feet singing, "There's a fountain filled with blood." Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't ever listen to somebody who belittles the blood of Jesus Christ. You show me somebody that says it's not the blood, I'll show you somebody, excuse me, that's not a born-again child of God. You show me somebody that says, "Listen, it is not the blood, it's only the death. I mean, the blood's not necessary." That person, are you listening to me? They're not a Christian. It's impossible. Because it's by the shedding of blood that there's remission of sins. Don't ever forget it. The blood is precious. Now, I say this here. After Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo, he would often point to a red spot on that map that covered the area of Waterloo. Now listen to this. Then he would say, "If it were not for that one red spot, I'd be the emperor of the entire world." Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? You know Satan must spend a lot of his time pointing to a red spot called Calvary and declare, "If it were not for that one red spot, I'd be the owner of many more souls." Are you listening to me? If you're a born-again child of God, It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious tonight. It's precious. I'm rejoicing in what the blood of Jesus Christ does for His children. Think about it. Think about it. By it, we're redeemed. We're sold under sin, sold to Satan. But when we come to Jesus Christ, can't you just picture Him just stepping in, taking us by the hand and saying, come with me, you're now free. And the devil and every devil in hell can't do a thing about it. That's a good night. Hallelujah. I love to preach. Love it. Love this. And I love thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matter of fact, hey, let's have one or two people just stand and tell us what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you. Yes.
1963,
13
years old. That blood.
Amen. Amen. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Amen. Amen. That's good. Somebody else. Stand and tell us what the blood's done for you. Yes, Miss Annis.
I can tell them how good He was to me. How He saved my soul.
Amen.
You know, I look back and I think I'm such a
Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Sure. Amen. Amen. Good. Good. Yes. Yes. Great. 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 I want you to come up here, Miss Annis. I'd like for several of you ladies, if you wouldn't mind doing this, I want you to just come and just gather around her. I'd like all of our staff ladies that are in the congregation to do this. Maybe at least all the deacon wives, if you're here, if you wouldn't mind. And anybody else who feels led. I mean, you don't have to do this, but if you feel led to do this, ladies, I want to open this up for you. We're going to gather around her. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to ask God to, if it's His will, to heal her. Because God can if He chooses to do this. Now, He can. He can do this. There's no doubt about it. We're going to pray. By the way, we're coming into the presence of God on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's another benefit. Praise God for it. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we love You tonight. And our Lord, we pray for Miss Annis. God, we thank You that You are interested in each and every single solitary circumstance of our life. I thank You that this has not taken You by surprise. You knew it before the world began. And Lord, we praise You for Your knowledge
and your thoughts toward your children. Our Lord, she's a handmaiden of thine. There's no doubt about it. She's encouraged my heart. She's encouraged my wife's heart. And how many hearts has she encouraged here at our church? And Father, we are pleading with you tonight on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are pleading with you to touch and heal her body. We're calling upon you and ask you to do this. But Lord, at the same time, we want to commit ourselves to realize that you know best. And whatever your will is, that's what we're praying for. And I know that that's what her heart cries out for, is the will of God. But we are begging that it is your will to touch her body and heal her. Would you help her now? Bless her dear husband. God bless her family. And our God, we praise you for your goodness to us. May you be glorified and honored and uplifted. Oh my, I feel you here tonight. Oh my, bless your name. Work and move, we beg of you. Touch her now, breathe upon her. Continue to give her this peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this together. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. By the way, this may be you one of these days. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to commit myself. I'm going to commit myself tonight. I want to pray for Annis. I'm going to pray for her family. I want to pray that God's will be done. And if it's His will, that He'll heal her. Now, Miss Annis, I want you to see this, okay? I want you to look out here. If you're committing yourself tonight that you're going to pray for her, I want you to raise your hand in the air. Would you do that? You're going to pray for her. Isn't that good? Amen. Yes. Praise God for it. Yes. Thank the Lord. No doubt about it. Amen. Brother Mark, if you want to come, I need to just call the church into session just for one item about Brother Tory.